You're listening to Chasing Prophecy Radio, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. On UPRN Talk Radio, FM 107.7 in New Orleans and FM 105.3 in Mississippi.
If it's unexplainable, we're talking about it.
Whether you're a believer or a skeptic, we cover everything where the unknown becomes the known. And now, here are your hosts, Jenny Nicasio and Tom Callaway.
Welcome to Chasing Prophecy Radio on FM 107.7 in New Orleans and 105.3 in the Gulf, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. I'm Jenny Nicasio, along with my fabulous co-host, Tom Callaway. How are y'all tonight?
Yes. How is everybody? Jenny, how are you? Did you survive the Northern Lights down in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I did, but I was, abducted by these little tree creatures. Did you hear about the little miniature tree people that are hiding?
Yeah, elementals are a thing, man. Elementals are a thing, and oftentimes they like to play tricks, and they're not very nice, from what I
gather. I don't know about that. I'm finding it hard to believe that there are these little miniature people in trees, okay? I mean, I'm all for fairies and everything, but I don't know. I just can't see it.
Have you thought about them not being actually flesh and blood people and more of spirit or more of forest spirits and things like that? Not actual.
I don't know. Being. I'm trying to have an open mind about these things, but. I don't know. I just can't. I'm really skeptical about them. I know my old co-host, he loved fairies and stuff like that. But I don't know. I don't know. I just can't get past the little people. But there's not only that. There's so much more in the news, and this can, into the paranormal news, like the, I don't know if so much as the paranormal, but the simulation. People are saying that scientists have confirmed that we're living in this simulation. I don't know if that's the case, but I do know, Tom, that some things are really weird, even with the eclipse and with the auroras borealis, or whatever you want to call it, the northern lights, because some people think that it were fake, because when you took a picture, it was not the same as what you saw with the naked eye. And there's a phenomenon, people are saying, scientists are calling it something different. I don't know. But when I looked out at the northern lights in the sky, I saw a little bit of color. But when you took a picture with your cell phone, my Apple phone, it was like, whoa. So it's hard to
explain. So if I could speak to that for a second, there's always, and especially, some of the background that I have with paranormal investigations, there are cameras that pick up things that we can't see with our naked eye. And to me, the more alarming thing is that these cameras have surpassed what our eyesight can see. Taking a picture of something and seeing contrasts and things that we haven't just means that camera is functioning better than our eyesight. So it's not incredibly unrealistic for me. I've definitely taken pictures of things that, I didn't see, and there, once the picture came, it was there. So it's not totally out of my, from what I've seen. But if you haven't experienced that, yeah, absolutely, it's going to sound that way. And you're not the first person to say that. It happened with a bunch of people that I knew taking pictures in my local Westchester, Philadelphia area here.
Yeah.
And people are like, I take a picture of something and it doesn't look the way that it seems. You know what I mean? It's not what I took a picture of. And, jumping off of that to the simulation, I believe... I told you about, now I'm going to protect his identity because he asked me to, but we have firsthand knowledge of an internationally known, renowned professor and doctor who, being a scientist, he's not going to say this is definite, but he's saying, I know what I got and this is what I got. You know what I mean? About the second law of infodynamics, or, and I'm sure I'm butchering it. But I talked to him personally. I mean, you've seen the messages, Jenny. That
yeah, I did.
I mean, it's straight from the horse's mouth, right?
Yep. I don't know. If we are, we're in trouble, because how do we know what is real and what is not real? And what are we seeing? I mean, like, how do we know the Northern Lights was in some kind of CGI thing, too?
Well, you know, in the spirit of science and things like that, I don't know. I can't. I don't think you would be able to prove one way or the other, right? Yeah. You know, what it was or not. But if it was LED lights and that sort of thing, you're talking about the expenditure of energy would have to be massive to get across the whole United States. Can it be done? You can have laser shows everywhere. We've seen that.
Yeah.
But this, you know, long story short, I wouldn't be able to tell you one way or the other from an IT and scientific point of view.
Understood. I just want to say hello to everybody. Nicole, Cindy, how are you tonight? And if you have any questions for our guests, well, we should probably bring them on.
Absolutely. Wonderful guest. I was chatting with him before the show.
Yeah. So we have a special guest. His name is Mark Anthony. He is a psychic lawyer, which is really cool. He's also a fourth generation psychic who communicates with spirit. He's an Oxford educated attorney licensed in practice law in Florida, Washington, D.C., and before the United States Supreme Court. He recently won a Homie Award for Best Psychic Medium. That is so impressive. And Mark's also appeared nationwide on radios, including CBS TV, The Doctors, TV Beyond Belief. He co-hosts a live stream, The Psychic and the Doc, on Transformation Network. The psychic explorer travels to mystical locations and remote corners of the world to examine ancient mysteries and supernatural phenomena. He is featured speaker at conferences, expos, universities, which include Brown, Columbia, and Harvard, and Yale. Wow, this is really impressive. And Mark is also an author of 3 best-selling books. His latest afternoon at Tiffany's now. The Afterlife Frequency, which has won multiple awards. He was ranked as one of the top books about faith and was up for a Pulitzer. Wow. His other best-selling books are Never Letting Go, Evidence of Eternity, and he's also a VIP executive contributor. Wow. For the Best Holistic Life magazine. We're going to head and bring him in without further ado. Welcome to Chasing Prophecy, Mark. So great to have you. That's Mark. A big resume.
Thank you, Jenny. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Oh, awesome.
Well, we appreciate you being on as well. And a psychic lawyer. I love that. I love that phrase.
I'm the psychic lawyer.
The thing is, though,
my brand is Mark Anthony JD Psychic Explorer. And what happens is the media keeps labeling me things. So I was at a press conference in New York City like 15 years ago, and all these reporters found out that I was a medium and an attorney, so they started calling me the psychic lawyer. Then, because of my expertise in ancient mysteries, supernatural phenomenon, paranormal investigations, the media then started calling me the psychic explorer. So my agent, my manager, we all sat down and go, look, we got too much here. So we put it all together, because JD is my Juris Doctor. It's my law degree and psychic explorer. So there it is. Mark Anthony, JD, psychic explorer.
Wow.
So, very,
I know. It's, everything I do has very lengthy. Every organization I speak at has, like, you know, these gigantic titles, but the thing is, it's really quite an honor to be on this show and to share my experiences with people all over the place. So thank you very much for having me.
You're quite welcome.
Absolutely. So one of the questions here, a psychic lawyer, how you were talking about, most people would think psychic and lawyer are on the opposite ends of spectrum, right?
Yes.
And, has there ever been occasions when your dual careers as an attorney and a medium conflict with each other?
No, I don't think they ever conflict with each other. And I want to let everyone know that As a trial lawyer, I have tried well over 100 jury trials, hundreds, maybe 1,000 bench trials, but that's not the focus of what I'm doing anymore. Now my concentration is on my spiritual work as a psychic medium. But I, you know, obviously I'm still a member of the Florida, Washington, D.C. and U.S. Supreme Court bars, and I appear on a lot of shows when the legal system and the paranormal collide, which happens a lot more than you might think. And my psychic abilities is part of my skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because in the practice of law, I got a reputation for, you know, that guy's kind of weird because he knows stuff that like he shouldn't know. And one time, I was trying a case as a defense attorney because I'd been a prosecutor, but now I was working for a defense firm. And it was a crime of violence. You know, my client was a big bruiser and he got in a fist fight with another big bruiser at a bar. So, you know, it was big bruiser A beats up big bruiser B, and my client beat the other guy up. So, you know, the loser filed charges. And so during jury selection, which is the part of the trial before you start taking evidence, and what happens there is a group of prospective jurors are brought in. And both sides, both the prosecution and the defense, gets to ask questions of the, it's called the veneri, which are the potential jurors, to see if they have any bias or prejudice. And the thing is, while the prosecutor was asking questions, I kept getting drawn towards this one woman. And she was really, and it's funny, Jenny, because you kind of remind me of her. She was an attractive woman with the olive complexion and the big, beautiful dark eyes and dark hair. And so as soon as I saw you, I'm like, whoa, I got to tell that story. But I kept feeling this when I looked at her, like this tightening around my throat. And it's like, okay, this isn't good. And I kept getting this female energy, this spirit around her. And I'm like, okay, this really does not need to be happening during jury selection. So now it's my turn to ask the potential jurors questions. And I started with, has anyone on the jury or someone in your family ever been the victim of a violent crime? Well, this woman starts trembling and shaking.
Oh.
And she looks up and the tears just start rolling down her cheeks.
Wow.
And she said, a year ago, my sister was in a foreign country when an escaped mental patient strangled her, dismembered her body and threw her in the garbage. And I'm standing there like, oh my God, they didn't teach me in law school how to deal with this.
Yeah.
I mean, you could hear a pin drop in the courtroom and all I could hear was my client saying, dude, what are you doing? And then I started getting her sister coming through really, really strong. And I literally had a foot in both worlds. And if everybody wants to find out what happened, you have to get my first book, Never Letting Go, because I reveal what happens there. And the thing is, I see someone says, you can't hide anything from us psychics. Yes and no. People have a misunderstanding of what it means to be psychic. We have insights into situations and into people, but we are not all knowing and all seeing. Because all the time, people are always saying smart alecky things like, oh, well, you should have seen that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, for example, I was doing a reading for this. It was a public event, and it was in front of about 100 people. And I was drawn to this woman, and she stands up, and her teenage daughter was with her. And her father comes through, which would be the grandfather for the teenager. And I kept hearing, do not go to the concert. Do not go to the concert. Do not get into that car. And I said that. And the girl goes, well, I'm supposed to go to a concert next weekend with my friends. And her mother's like, no way are you going now. All right. So a year later, you know, and I didn't know what it meant. I mean, other than don't go to the concert. So like a year later, I was doing an event at the same venue. And when it was over, this woman comes up to me with her daughter and said, do you remember us? And they told me, and I said, oh, yeah, that was the don't go to the concert. Well, the young girl said, well, I called my friends and told them I wasn't going to go to the concert because my mom wouldn't let me. And they said, why? And I said, well, the psychic said, don't get in the car. And my friends were so freaked out. So the next weekend when they were driving to the concert and they are on the interstate, they were going really slow because they're like, oh, we can't get in a car accident. Well, what happened was they got four blowouts simultaneously. Oh, wow. And when the trooper was there and all that, they said the road was littered, looked like with roofing nails. And the trooper said, oh, a box of roofing nails must have fallen off a truck. And he said, and if you young ladies had been going like 75, 80 miles an hour, chances are you would have flipped. And so I didn't know what it meant at the time. But as it turned out, her grandfather, this is a term that I've developed called spirit intervention. And in her grandfather's spirit intervened, which did not only save his granddaughter's life, but also these other three girls that were in this car going to the concert. So we don't always know what it means right away. But in that case, I believe that was a happy ending.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And perfect word for it, spiritual intervention. He did. He intervened at the right time.
At the right time. This happens a lot. Yeah, it happens a lot during readings. You know, you'll get a lot of health advice. And I always tell people, check everything with your doctor. But a lot of times the spirit will come through and give advice. And people are like, well, I'm not giving up smoking. And it's like, look, when you have someone who loves you come all the way from heaven to tell you to stop smoking, I think you ought to listen.
Yeah. Really?
It's not just the surface level stop smoking. There got to be more behind it.
Yeah.
So, all right. In the afterlife frequency, you write about how it was growing up psychic. When did you first realize that you had this ability?
I was about 3.5 years old, and all of a sudden I started playing with my invisible friends. Now, it's not unusual for a little kid, you know, a toddler to have invisible friends. But when mommy and daddy can see who they are too, because both of my parents had these abilities as well. It runs in the family on both sides. And, you know, my dad was a Navy SEAL. And then after the Navy, he became an aerospace engineer. My mom was a commercial illustrator, artist. Mom was like, so cool. And the thing is, I remember mom going, oh, he's got it. And my dad going, oh, geez, he's got it. You know, like that, because they had very different reactions. My mom's side of the family was Italian, and the Italians are very accepting of these abilities. Mm-hmm. They look at it as a gift from God. My dad's family, even though he had four siblings, one of his sisters was a medium, and his mother was, and his maternal grandmother was as well. But they were from a very Pennsylvania, waspy Protestant family that you just didn't discuss it in public. And he was afraid how people would treat me. So he was like, don't tell anyone but mommy and daddy. You can tell us everything you want, but don't talk about it outside of the house.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How was it different growing up with parents that are mediums and psychic and normal?
Well, you know, I couldn't get away with much because they, you know, and I think all parents have that thing, you know, when your kids are doing something or if something happens, you get that premonition, that feeling. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm at the tail end of the flu. So pardon me. But my parents always knew when I was trying to get away with something. And especially when I was a teenage boy. And the thing is, teenage boys are always up to something. It doesn't mean it's necessarily negative, but come on, it's teenage boys, you know? And, but it was cool because I'd come home from school and mom would say, I saw a spirit today. And I'd be like, oh, cool. Do we have any peanut butter? And she's like, over there. And I'd be making a sandwich and she'd be telling me about the spirit and our conversations at dinner. You know, we talk about Jesus and Buddha and St. Francis and Gandhi and kind of all together. And the thing is, looking back on it, it was such an honor. I was so lucky to have had parents like that. And the thing is, Jenny, to me, it was my normal. And then when I got around other guys and girls, you know, my age, and I'd meet their families, it's like, yeah, my family's definitely different.
Yeah.
I was like, we were kind of like the Addams family, you know. It was like we were the weird but the cool
family. Fun. It was a cool, fun family.
Well, they are fun.
Yeah, they were fun. And I didn't realize how many people in our neighborhood knew about my family until at my mom's celebration of life. Because people came up and they would tell me, oh, your mom changed my life and she did this and she did that. So everybody in the neighborhood, you know, kind of not kind of, they knew what was going on.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. Fun.
Looks like we got a question from Nicole. In your opinion, what are portals?
Portals. All right, Nicole, define what you mean by a portal, because when I see portal, I'm thinking of vortex. Mm-hmm. And a vortex is an energetic whirlpool. And think about like when you pull the stopper in a sink and, mm-hmm. and the sink begins to drain, it forms a whirlpool. Well, electromagnetic energy also can create a whirlpool, which we refer to as a vortex. And there are several places around the Earth that have portal or vortexes, such as Sedona. Sedona has, I believe, seven major energy vortexes. The Giza Plateau, strangely, where the Great Pyramids are, mm-hmm. Stonehenge, Machu Picchu. We could go on and on and on with all these mystical and sacred sites, are all areas where energy forms, if you will, a whirlpool, which creates a vortex. Now, there are people who believe that these portals are actually a point where we can interdimensionally jump from our dimension to another dimension. And, you know, when we start talking about things like this, people say that we're all being all woohoo and crazy and all that. But this particular phenomenon was first identified in the early 20th century by Karl Schwarzschild. And he was a good friend of Albert Einstein's. And the Schwarzschild quantum lattice theory says that an electron can disappear from one location and appear in another location without having gone through the matter in between. And this particular phenomenon has in recent years been recreated in laboratories. And scientists theorize that the electrons are actually going through a microscopic black yep. hole and jumping from one dimension to the next. And so what I find fascinating about that is because we're composed of molecules which are made of atoms, which are made of mm-hmm. electrons, protons, and neutrons, and quantum. So our electrons are popping back and forth between this dimension and another one. So on those days where you feel like you're not all there, hey, that's okay, because you really aren't. Yeah, you're never all there. Just some days you feel a little less here yep. than there.
Yeah.
But it's really fascinating that quantum physics, and that's what I write about in my latest book, The Afterlife Frequency. I use quantum physics to explain all the different forms of spiritual phenomenon, because none of this is hocus pocus or magic. Everything has a sound scientific basis, including the spiritual. And I think it is amazing how at this point in the 21st century, due to advances in technology and in quantum physics, we're now beginning to prove spiritual phenomena.
So absolutely. What exactly is the afterlife frequency?
Think of our material world dimension as AM radio. Okay, here mm-hmm. we all, and yep. AM radio all has energy and frequency. Just a few minutes ago when I said everything's made of molecules, which in turn are made of atoms, which are made of electrons, protons, and neutrons, which in turn are made of the smallest particle known as a quantum. And that's where the term quantum physics comes from. And the plural is quanta. And quantum is electromagnetic energy. So what that means, Jenny and Tom, is that everything, you, me, my book, the radio waves that this show is being broadcast on, the rings of Saturn and beyond, all of that at the subatomic level is composed of the same form of electromagnetic energy. Now, why are we alive and why is the microphones that we're talking into are not alive is because everything vibrates at different frequencies. So our vibration would be at a higher frequency than would an inanimate or what we would call an inanimate object. The afterlife frequency is think of that as FM radio. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's at a higher frequency modulation. So we have two energetic systems, the AM radio, which is the material world, and the FM radio, which is the afterlife frequency. So that when we die, our soul, which I call the electromagnetic soul, okay, and I can get into explaining that later, literally quantum leaps from AM to FM. Okay. And the thing is, even though the two systems are separate and distinct, there are times when we get frequency overlap. And see, both of you are involved in paranormal investigations and talking about these things. And so that's what we do as paranormal investigators, as mediums, near-death experiencers, out-of-body experiences, deathbed visions, shared death experiences. We're getting caught in the zone in between our material world frequency and the afterlife frequency.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a great definition and great explanation for everything. I actually had heard, my first time hearing about molecules disappearing in between matter and thing was about 5 years ago in a study on in CERN, in the Large Hadron Collider, where they were experiencing those things, and they didn't know where it could go, and the only thing that they could theorize was it was traveling between, like you said, a worm or a black hole, and then traveling to the other side. And I love the idea of, you know, let me ask you this. Is consciousness the threshold for being alive versus being inanimate? Is that where that line is of vibration?
Well, okay. The electromagnetic soul, let me start there. Okay. We know from faith, every great belief system teaches that the soul pre-exists the body, comes into the body, moves on after the body dies. They all teach that. Hinduism, Jainism, Sikhism, Judaism, Christianity, Islam. Yep. I mean, we can go on and on and on. Native American spirituality. We know from the laws of thermodynamics and physics that energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. The brain, even though it's only 2% of the body's weight, uses over 20% of the body's electromagnetic energy. So the brain is like a computer hard drive. It did not create the consciousness. It merely hosts it. So when the consciousness, when the brain, the hard drive crashes, in other words, when we die, that I call our electromagnetic soul, which describes what we really are, pure consciousness, which is eternal electromagnetic energy, then leaves and is a coherent EM quantum field. Okay. Now consciousness. And I know that scientists say they're proving that this is all an illusion, and I differ with them on that. I've conducted over 15,000 readings. I've communicated with hundreds of thousands of spirits, and I can assure you that we are living in the material world. What we are perceiving and going through is real. It is not a holographic projection. And I know that there's scientists who disagree with me, but they're not mediums. I am. And I'm also a student of science and quantum physics. And the thing is, come on, how many people would project and voluntarily create a holographic projection of having cancer or paralysis or losing a child? Come on, give me a break. All right. There's sometime an element of reality needs to come into this. What we are experiencing is real. And when we physically die, who and what we are, our electromagnetic soul lives on after that. Okay. So.
Go I have ahead, a question. Jenny. Yeah. Like we were talking to another psychic not too long ago. Was it last week? Who said that we choose our life? No, I asked her this. You mean you're telling me that we choose to have cancer? We choose to be in horrible accidents. We choose to be raped. We choose, you know, abuse.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah. Now, what do you think about that?
I do a lot of work with reincarnation studies. In fact, I just concluded the first part of my 2024 tour, and I was at two different reincarnation conferences where I presented the science behind it, plus some case studies, which are really fascinating. Mm-hmm. And there, it seems to suggest that we may actually choose these lives. And Jenny, why? I'm with you. Why would somebody choose to lose a child or become a quadriplegic or
cancer, I don't get it.
Whatever? But then again, we're also looking at our life from a finite material world perspective. Mm. And as my dear friend Rhonda Schwartz, fellow medium, said, we have one life and it is eternal. So we have this EMS that comes into the material world, goes to the afterlife frequency, comes back, it's reincarnated. And so we may live, like, say, 90 years, but when you're looking at eternity, that's not even a nanosecond.
Yep.
And it appears that we go through a series of experiences in the material world, and how we deal with them appears, and I'm saying appears because nobody knows for certain in finite form, that it has a direct relationship to what happens when we leave this world. So in other words, if you're Mother Teresa, I believe you're going to go into a higher frequency than Osama bin Laden. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the choosing to come back, it's from what I've heard, is it's about learning lessons your soul needs to learn coming back. And if you don't, and again, yes, looking at it in a finite, like, now, why would you choose to get canceled? Why would you choose? But it could be that you needed to learn a lesson that that test gave you. And yes, it's very sad and it's traumatic and there's all these types of things, but for your soul evolution, for your soul to grow, you needed to go through that. If somebody, let me put it this way, if somebody had cancer or lost a kid, but in their previous life they were Hitler, do you think, you know, that kind of evens out? Or do you think that, no, they shouldn't have had that anyway? It's about the travel. And you're right, you only see a microcosm,
right,
Mark? You know what I mean? If they've been around, and say there's only X amount of souls on Earth, and you, once you die, you go into the light and you come out as a baby. You know what I mean? In 2000, in, you know, say 2000 years, let's just start at BC. If you started 2000 years and you had cancer and died for three of those years, but you've been on the planet ever since, and you've had ups and you've had downs, you know, you have to take the whole journey into consideration, not just picking that I'm going to have cancer this life.
Yeah, it's hard to say, because, you know, when you're healthy, you have 1,000 wishes. And when you're sick, no, you're have right. one wish.
It's true. You know? It's very true.
It is true. And I saw, like, with my mother, who was like the coolest and most loving person. And she was plagued with horrible illnesses her whole life. If you saw her, you'd never know it, because she always dressed to the nines and was always telling jokes and laughing. But she was in horrific pain and discomfort most of her life. And she and I would talk about this. And she said that one day she was so frustrated. And she said, "Why, God, why do I have to suffer with all of this?" And she told me that a voice spoke to her. And it wasn't the voice that you hear in your head when you think. The voice said, "It's all for death." And I said, "Well, Mom, that sounds kind of macabre." She goes, "Actually, it wasn't. When I heard that, it made me realize that everything that I'm going through now is directly proportional to what's going to happen when I leave this world." Hmm. And so does that bring us comfort when we're suffering? Maybe. Maybe it's a perspective. But we're also trying to understand the infinite through a finite set of eyes. It's like earlier, if I can go to your discussion about the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights.
Yeah,
Jenny, absolutely. You brought up a great point. And Tom, I loved your explanation. Take a picture with the camera and you see more colors. Okay. Well, the human eye can see a million colors, but that's not all the colors that are there. There's ultraviolet, there's infrared, there's x-rays, gamma rays. In other words, our eyes are designed to see a form of electromagnetic energy, which is white light. But in the EM spectrum, there's gamma rays, X-rays, XM rays, infrared, ultraviolet. There's all these different types of electromagnetic energy that our eyes cannot perceive. And so the camera, like you said, Tom, has a wider perspective on it. It's like one of the things I teach in paranormal investigation is if you try to look at a comet, you can't see it very well with direct vision, but if you look at it with your peripheral vision, you can see it. Either one of you ever felt that you a presence, and maybe you saw something in your peripheral vision, and then you look and it vanishes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, guess Absolutely. What? The spirit didn't vanish. If this has to do with the structure of the human eye. Within the retina, there's two things. There's cones and rods. Cones are in the center of the retina, and that's for daytime vision, details, and color. The cones on the periphery of the retina see light and dark. And so when you see a spirit, you're picking up on their subtle EM radiation, and you're able to see it with the rods. And then when you turn and you switch to the cones, it gives the impression that the spirit vanished. Mm. This is one of the things that I teach. And in fact, astronomers call this averted vision. And they instruct that when you're looking at stellar phenomenon, particularly comets, it's best to view it through your peripheral vision. So what that means is that our human eye is very limited in its capabilities. And there are women, and it's only women who can do this because of the two X chromosomes. They're called tetrachromats. And a tetrachromat has an extra cone in their eye that goes into the yellow-green. See, we see red, blue, and green cones, but they have this yellow-green cone, and a tetrachromat can see 100 million colors wow. with her eyes. And that's why a lot of women are much better at colors mm-hmm. than men. And here's the thing. It's you true. Can be a tetrachromat, ladies, and not even know it because you just see those colors. And that's why I always say, guys, when you're with your lady and she says, and she's in the store, she's trying on a dress, does this color look good on me? Just say yes. She already knows that it does. Okay, she's looking for validation. Better than you guys are like, oh no, it makes you look, you know, blue. It's like, no, tell her it looks great. Jenny, don't you know when something's your color?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And Tom, how many times have you heard the does this dress make me look good?
Oh yeah, no, you're right. You're right. And we're the, you know, see, we're the guys, we're the 8-pack of Crayola, and the ladies are the 64 with the sharpener. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And we're like, I don't know. And the worst thing is a woman, you know, does this dress, you know, if it does it make me look good? Yes, it makes you look good.
Fabulous.
Yes. Let's step out for a break. And then when we come back, we'll talk, we'll get Cindy's question back up there and, you know, go for, have you answer that. So let me just open this.
Survives a tragic accident thanks to Lucian, an enigmatic being. Her newfound abilities catch the attention of a secretive government agency. Drawn to Lucian despite the danger, Samantha is unaware of his true identity. She teams up with Lucian's brothers in a daring mission to rescue him. Accused unfairly, Lucian seeks refuge on his distant homeworld. Can Samantha prove Lucian's innocence and save their forbidden love? From the Sky by J.E. Nicasio. Available now. Get your copy on Amazon and BNN.
Over the centuries, occurrences from the enigmatic realm have become less, well, enigmatic. So if conversations about the supernatural, myths and legends, mind-bending conspiracies, and haunting stories of ghosts are things you take seriously, we have the podcast that you can call home. Chasing Prophecy. Just because something is unexplained doesn't make it any less real. We're more than just a podcast. We're a community for those who dare to look beyond the scope of normal. For those who are aware of the abstract and interact with a show that speaks to them. Broadcasting from Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, the show stands out as the city's premier paranormal radio program, airing every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Come and hang with host Jenny Nicasio and Tom Coway on Chasing Prophecy.
Meet Daniel Knight, a psychologist with an extraordinary gift to absorb and heal the deepest wounds of the mind. In the heart of a chilling investigation, every secret unraveled binds him closer to darkness. But as he delves into the psyche of a killer, his own demons emerge. Caught in a battle within and against an evil that seeks to exploit his powers, where the line between savior and victim blurs. Dare to heal the wounds of the mind.
Welcome Healer. To the extraordinary world of the Chasing Prophecy radio show, where we delve into the mysteries of the universe and the depths of the human mind. Our listeners are a unique blend of curious minds and adventurous spirits, always eager to learn, explore, and discover. They're not just listeners, they're a community. And what better way to reach this vibrant, engaged audience than by advertising with us? When you advertise on Chasing Prophecy, you're not just buying airtime. You're becoming a part of a conversation, a part of our family. We offer a variety of advertising packages tailored to fit your needs and budget. And with our dedicated team, we'll ensure your message resonates with our listeners. So why wait? Grab this opportunity to amplify your brand with Chasing Prophecy Radio Show. Let's embark on this journey together. Chasing Prophecy Radio Show, where your brand meets our community. Fill out our advertising form on our website, www.chasingprophecyradio.net, to get started. That's www.chasingprophecyradio.net to get started.
Oops.
There we go. There we go. All right, we're back. Thank you, everyone, for holding on right there. And let's get Cindy's question back up. And Cindy, you're such a loyal follower of the show. We want to get your question answered. If your loved one passes away, can they still communicate with you through a medium as it's the same soul?
Absolutely. And that's what I do. That's what I do is I facilitate communication between people in our world with loved ones in spirit. And people want to find out about what I do, please visit my website, afterlifefrequency.com, just like my latest book, Afterlife Frequency. And Cindy, my book, The Afterlife Frequency, explains how this happens, because once again, spirit communication is explainable through sound scientific principles. It's not hocus pocus. It's not magic, because the electromagnetic soul, which is a spirit, is able to communicate with everybody here in this world. But for example, the medium, think of a reading as like a triangle, and the electromagnetic soul of your spirits and your loved ones in spirit are at the top. You're at one side of the triangle. I'm at the other. And there's this three-way communication. The spirit emits EM frequencies that go into my brain and get converted into recognizable concepts based on my memories, feelings, and cultural associations. I describe those to you, and you know, you're able to validate them. And then the more we develop a rapport with the spirit, and the more you're able to validate, then the spirit's able to just transmit deeper and more thoughtful and more meaningful messages. So I hope that in a nutshell answers your question.
It looks like it did. And you know, one thing, Mark, is I heard you say it a couple times, but it's so true. And I really want to emphasize that point, is it's not hocus pocus. We take a scientific approach. And you know why? Because Mark, you, me, Jenny, we're on the inside. It's our community. And we have to be more skeptical than the skeptics, because if we lose credibility, we're done. So, you know, we have to be the ones to self-govern in a way. You know what I mean? And not claim everything is paranormal.
Well, the paranormal is actually normal, and paranormal means outside of the normal, and supernatural basically means the same thing, outside of the natural. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, everybody who's a parent experiences psychic phenomenon. Have you ever been any place and all of a sudden you knew something was wrong with your child?
Yeah.
And it was. Now, what? Do you think that was just a coincidence? This is what I call the phenomenon of frequency beacons. Think of everyone that you know and love, both in this world and in spirit, as connected through a three-dimensional spider web. Now, how does the spider web work? Frequency, vibration. Something hits the web and it sends this vibration along the web to you. Okay. So it's even more intensified when your loved one's in spirit, because they're not encumbered with a physical body. For example, have you ever been in your car and you're driving along and all of a sudden you feel compelled to turn on the radio and then immediately there is that song that makes you think about that loved one? Now, do you think that was just a coincidence? What are radio waves? Oh my gosh, they're electromagnetic energy. What is a spirit? Oh my gosh, electromagnetic energy. So that's their way of sending that that vibration, that frequency beacon to you to prompt you to turn on the radio. What about seeing a number sequence? Let's say I'm just making one up, like 141. Let's say, gosh, every time I look at the clock, it says 141, or I see 141, and that makes me think of my father who passed. Well, do you think that's a fluke? What, have you ever smelled a familiar scent and there's no source for it? I remember for like 6 months after my mom died, I kept smelling Chanel number 5 in my car. And that was her cologne, or her perfume was Chanel number 5.
That was my mom's cologne too.
Now, isn't that interesting how I brought that up? So that must be your mom saying, hey, say Chanel number 5. But the thing is, these type of things are not coincidental. It's what I refer to as spiritual synchronicity. So these things happen for a reason. And that's one of the phenomenon that I explain through quantum physics in the afterlife frequency. And I do want to tell people, I know when you hear quantum physics and science, immediately you start thinking, oh God, that's going to be like reading an algebra textbook. No way. I suffered through so many boring books in law school and in the practice of law. I will not inflict that on anybody. The way I write all my books like juicy novels, and I work the science in to make it entertaining but educational. I've read so many. I remember I was in law school and we had to take federal basic income taxation. I knew I was never going to be a tax lawyer, but you have to take it because it teaches you how to read statutes. Oh my God. And the IRS code's like this thick and it's the most boring. And I remember sitting there I was in the library and I was going to pull my hair out. And then I looked up and there was this book and it was about my favorite judge, or one of them, his name was Judge Learned Hand. I mean, when you name your kid Learned Hand, they better be a famous judge, because I'm sure he got beat up a lot on the way home. But anyway, Learned Hand was absolutely brilliant, and he was a huge influence on the course of American jurisprudence. And I opened the book, and it went right to this page where he was talking about the Internal Revenue Code. And he said, it is a meaningless procession of cross-references and exceptions which dance before my eyes in incomprehensible manner. And I started laughing, going, all right, if Learned Hand was having a hard time with the IRS code, I'm okay.
Yeah. Learned Hand. You're not a blacksmith with that name, you know?
No, Learned Hand. And you know, it's really
that's a wonderful story
about Learned Hand. He was a very influential New York state appellate judge. But because back like in the 1920s or something, when he was a college student, he attended a Communist Party meeting because he was curious.
Mm-hmm.
And that came up when they wanted to appoint him to the United States Supreme Court. That kept him off. One of the most brilliant minds in American jurisprudence. You know, I mean, because when I was a college student, I remember going to a Hindu thing, you know, because I was always interested in all these different things. I remember I saw this guy, he wrote a book on Austrian Nazism. You know, I wanted to see what he had to say. It doesn't mean I'm a Nazi.
Yeah.
You know, but he spent all this time researching it. And I went to the Soviet Union, you know, before it collapsed. And that doesn't mean I'm a communist, but I was a student of politics and history and theology, and I wanted to understand these things. And so when something like that comes back and bites you on the wazoo, that's not right. Now, you know,
I mean, some of those people were got treated very unfairly, and it was a time where you didn't have as much things to go in your direction. But yeah, no, like I still remember this. I don't know why, but I did in fifth grade, a report on Finland and what they do for Christmas. So let that get out. And now I'm a Scandinavian socialist. You know what I mean? That's how it would be. You know what I mean? That's how it would be. But you know, it's a shame. And you know, he's not the only one. I'm sure there are plenty of other people. You know, Oppenheimer was the big movie that came out, and he dabbled in the same thing. And, you know, you keep the best and brightest away mm-hmm. for these trivial things and blow them out to epic proportions.
Oh, yeah. It's just, let's just call the world is a work in progress.
That's for sure.
Progress. Big work in progress.
Yeah.
Big work, little progress. Is that what you said?
I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more, Jenny. It's the late, great Jimi Hendrix, rock and roll guitar genius, said that when the power of love, there won't be peace until the power of love overcomes the love of power.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
You get in power and now you got to stay in power. That's the thing.
So do you have any hope for us? I mean, come on, you're the psychic explorer. You should have some kind of insight for us to go on from here.
Well, first off, I say this with all sincerity. I tell everyone all the time, pray for peace. Mm-hmm. I don't advocate any particular religion because, as Gandhi said, what religion is God? And think about it. You know, people say, well, this is one true faith. It's like, really? The thing is, prayer is when we talk to the divine power. Meditation is when we listen. And, you know, people say, well, prayer doesn't matter. It's like, yeah, but let's put that energetic vibration because thoughts are EM energy. Keep putting that out there. Also, in the readings I've conducted, and I'm not a fortune teller, okay, but occasionally spirits will give me information. It's like back in, late 2019, I was doing readings for all these people, and their loved ones had come through, and they'd all be wearing surgical masks, and they all kept saying March 2020. And I'm like, well, are you like in the medical profession? And nobody's like, I don't know what this is. All right, well, then March 2020 rolls around, and I start getting emails right and left from people saying, now we know what this means, because that's when we have to go into lockdown. So the spirits were in their way letting us know what was coming. What they've also told me is that because of COVID, the world was given a glimpse. In other words, in that lockdown that was not quite 2 months, dolphins started to reappear in the canals of Venice. People could see the skylines in Mumbai and in Beijing because the air pollution started disappearing. Things started regrowing in national parks. Basically, nature was making a comeback. People were spending time with their children because they were home with them. And the message was that we were given a glimpse of what we could do if we put our brain trust together. Because in that time, all the scientists in the world were sharing information and developed a diagnosis, testing, and a vaccine for COVID. So the message was, we have on planet Earth right now, the geniuses, the scientists, the brain power to solve all of our problems. Think about it. If all of our scientists, instead of trying to figure out ways to blow up each other and create weapons of mass destruction, and I'm not getting on a soapbox here. This is not political.
No.
Think about it. If all of our geniuses were working on water quality, air quality, how to reforest, clean energy solutions, we can do it. We have the intelligence. So COVID gave us a glimpse. And they also told me that the next 10 years, which is now the next 8 years, is going to be very difficult for humanity, but then things will stabilize. In other words, it does not appear that we're going to go into a nuclear war. All right. Now, that's nice for me to say. That's what they told me. But usually pretty much every time when they give me a message like that, they're right on the money. But does that mean not a major nuclear war? Does that mean a little nuclear war? The problem is you get these ego driven, and ego stands for edging God out, because no message from the divine, no messages from spirits are about anger, bigotry, hatred, and violence. Those are all byproducts of the ego. And the ego is created by the mind, not the spirit. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so for like these religious fanatics that, you know, blow up little kids and fly planes into buildings and all that, they may say, oh, they're receiving directives from God. No, they're receiving directives from their ego, edging God out. That's true. Right. Spiritual messages are about love, healing, peace, compassion, mm-hmm. protection, and resolution. They're healing and empowering and loving messages. And that's the difference. So that's what I always tell people, the difference between a spiritual message and a charlatan, okay, or an ego-driven personality, yeah. is true spiritual messages are all about peace, love, understanding, yeah. healing, protection, resolution.
Okay. So, Mark, we only have a few seconds left. Do you want to tell everybody where they can find you and where to find your books?
Yes, please. Please visit my website, which is afterlifefrequency.com, just like my latest book. Sign up for my website. Sign up for my newsletter. I do a live stream show every Thursday, The Psychic and the Doc. You can call in and I do readings. And my co-host is a Dr. Pat, the world-renowned behavioral psychologist. And I'm on a nationwide tour. I'm going to be all over the place. Wow. So visit my website, afterlifefrequency.com. And Tom and Jenny, it has been an absolute pleasure. I want to thank you. And I especially want to thank your listeners. Everybody, please keep tuning in. God bless you all. Namaste.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you,
Mark. We'll see everybody next week.
I'm trying.